Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It is good to be here today. And I, as well as maybe some of you, may be shocked that I'm up here. Last weekend, Pastor Bob was up north where he used to live doing a graduation commencement address last week. And then I think it was Sunday or Monday, he said there's a memorial service of a dear friend. And he needed to go back up for that memorial today, so he asked if I could step in. And so, here I am. So pray for Pastor Bob. It's never easy to lose somebody. And so he is up comforting friends, family, and those up north. It's where he grew up, back to his home church. So pray for them and pray for us. And so, you know, youth pastors, we usually need 6 months to prepare a sermon. So I don't really have a sermon today. It's going to be more of a talk, more of a conversation. Pastor Bob's been discussing conversations that Jesus had with people. So instead of discussing a conversation Jesus had with somebody, I'm going to have a conversation with you about Jesus. Is that fair? And it's going to lead back into how you can have conversations with other people about Jesus. So you may remember before my sabbatical last fall, my last sermon before sabbatical was about how to share a gospel presentation, and there was the four steps to it, and I'm still exploring that, still digging into that, and we will get to this eventually, which is a new resource, which I was going to surprise you with a little later, but it's already up there, so let's save that for a few minutes. Everybody's just going to be distracted and look at that instead of listen to me. So just a few things before we dig into that, and it seems like we've got a really long time today, too. It's only 11:20. So, you know, graduation was not that long ago, right? And we gave little gifts to our graduates, a little book of scripture and wisdom for life and all those kind of things. And one of the students brought a thank you card to us today, and I just want to share pieces of it anonymously. And it says, oh, we also give them a Juice It Up card, a healthy snack. So it says, thank you so much for the Juice It Up card, but more importantly, see that? Everybody likes a gift card, right? Everybody likes something good. But he says, thank you, but more importantly, thank you for showing me how to be like Jesus. And this is addressed to the staff, at the pastoral staff, everybody in the front office, and by extension, all of you. This is to the church congregation. But more importantly, thank you for showing me how to be like Jesus. It is a gift that money cannot buy. Thank you for everything, and I pray that God will watch over you guys every day. Amen? And see, this may be some kind of divine appointment. Is what I felt impressed to talk about today, which is the thing I'm in the middle of, and it's tying into this simple statement. Last Sabbath, we had a baptism. Next Sabbath, we have another baptism. July 18, we have more baptisms. I want to boil it down and focus on the essential. What is really essential in being a Christian? There's a lot of things we do. But I'm really, really just more and more, as my life goes on, focused on what is the gospel, what is the core. Because sometimes we can get caught up in so many other good things that we lose that foundation. But if we don't have that simple, basic foundation, anything we build on top of that will crumble. You know what I mean? Good, pure doctrine can become legalism if it's not founded on the gospel. Amen? And so today I want to go back to looking at the gospel, looking at the foundation, and rather than standing up here and preaching, I think I'm going to come down here and try just having a conversation. And also the other benefit of a conversation instead of a sermon is it's really more appropriate to take your jacket off. So I wouldn't want to have an intimidating conversation. So, let's bow our heads and ask for the Lord to be with us on this journey. Dear Heavenly Father, we sense your Spirit and your presence already here. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be poured out in a powerful way. Lord, first of all, just cleanse me of sin, cleanse me of myself, fill me with your Spirit. No one wants to hear me today. They want to hear you. And Lord, I just pray for that miracle of tongues, whatever it may be, not to speak a different language, but to speak your words. Pray that you be with each person that is here listening. Take away the distractions from their minds, the distractions around them. Help them to be led by your Spirit. Help each person to get what they've come for, which is deeper communion with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you want to focus on the gospel, the root, the foundation of what it means to be a Christian, and if you want to understand this for yourself, and if you want to share this with somebody else, where is a good place to start? I would suggest we start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 3:15 is a favorite text for many people, and in the baptismal guides I use to study with kids, it's one of the foundational verses. When I was in Fresno Central for 6 years with Pastor Steve Bohr, it is his favorite text in all of the Bible, Genesis 3:15. So let's take a look at that, and you will need your Bibles today. Go ahead and open them up or turn them on, whatever the case may be. And so Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will cause hostility between the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." What is this verse talking about? And this is a conversation. What is this verse talking about? It's the great controversy, right? And as you look at other gospel presentations that are out there, you look at Campus Crusade, the Four Worlds, any of those presentations, they are really the great controversy in a nutshell. And so this is the beginning of it. The temptation, the fall in heaven, it comes down to earth, and there's this battle between good and evil that has started, and we know the story of the fall, and this is where Jesus steps in to referee the situation, right? In the old King James, it says, "I will put enmity." It's a feeling of hatred or hostility between two groups. He's going to put this tension, and the reason for that is because Jesus created us in his image to have a relationship with him, but he gave us free will. He warned Adam and Eve about the serpent, about the devil, but they, in their free will, chose to switch sides, to stop listening to God, and to listen to the enemy. And so by making that choice, they were thrust down another path in life. But Jesus said, you do not have to stay on that path. Enmity is going to give you the chance to choose to come back. Amen? So our choices, we do not have to suffer all the consequences of our choices. They're the eternal consequences. There are consequences immediately. Amen? I suffer from my mistakes. We all do that. But eternity is not out of reach. Jesus stepped in. He says, you can come back. Amen? And so where do we go from here? This is the beginning. This is the story that says you have a chance. People live in a messed up, sinful world, all kinds of craziness out there. But he says, you have a chance. This text says, you have hope. Amen? And we have hope because Jesus stepped in, not just to place enmity and stand back, but he stepped in to take our place. What scripture illustrates that? What I would like to go to is Isaiah 53. You know, a lot of times we only read this at Christmas. How many of you read Isaiah 53 on a regular basis when it's not Christmas? You know, I haven't read it for a while, but just as I wanted to have a simple, logical flow of thought, and the next simple, logical place that my mind goes is to what Jesus has done. And so Isaiah 53, starting with verse 1, it says, "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm?" And then he starts to describe Jesus. It says, "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot. Like a root in dry ground, there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care." Have you ever made a mistake, turned your back, walked away? Can you relate to this? Been there. Did that for a few years back in college, just didn't get it at all. I mean, we still do it daily here and there, but in a big way, I just walked away, turned my back. But it says in verse 4, yet it was our weaknesses he was carrying. When we turned away, it wasn't because of his own weakness, it wasn't because of his mistakes, it was because he was carrying our burdens. And yet we turned his back as he's saving us. We turned our backs as he's saving us. It says it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Amen. When you think about the messiness of this world, the trouble, the sorrow, the misery, Jesus is taking all of that anger, all of that, whatever the devil can throw out, he willingly took it upon himself so we could get out of the mess that we created. Is that good news? Amen? Isn't that what the gospel means? The gospel means good news, right? So when you meet someone who is in the world, who is suffering, who is caught up in addiction, sin, a victim in some way, is this good news for them? We have to admit this is a messy world. It is not ideal. Lucifer is currently the king of this dark world, but there is a better day coming. It's because of Jesus. Amen? So after Isaiah 53, where should we go? John 3:16. That was my thoughts too. It's like we're stuck in sin. We made a mistake. Adam and Eve sold us out, but enmity came in. Jesus stepped in. Then he came down, our suffering Messiah, took our place. And so now we share that with people. It's a famous verse. For God so loved the world, and this is how we describe it to other people. He so loved the world that he sent his only son, back to the Isaiah 53 passage, and that was before it even happened. For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son to this world to take our place, to take our condemnation, so that we can have life. Is that a good promise? We open the doors, we give the promise. Now, are these strange verses to you that you do not know? No, you know these verses, so what I want you to do today is to put together the storyline so you can share it. It needs to be a simple storyline. Back when I first started preaching, I'm not going to say how long ago, I've been a pastor for a while, but I used to be a manuscript preacher. I had to have everything written down because I was afraid I'd forget something, but I went from that, I read this book. It's called Preaching Without Notes. And they said if the storyline, if the outline is logical, you will remember it. The place where you're having a problem remembering it is because there's a shift in logic. It doesn't make sense. So you need to put together the storyline that makes sense to you, that makes sense with the Bible and with your experience. And so these are the verses that naturally came to my mind as I thought of gospel presentation. How do I share the basic gospel storyline with someone? This is what makes sense to me, and so I will remember it easily. So you need to think through those favorite verses that have touched your life that show the evil in this world and how Jesus has stepped in to overcome. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say amen. Okay, and this is important, right? Every Christian needs to know how to share their faith. Amen. So this is a solid core component, something every one of us needs to do. Because as I look at these organizations like Campus Crusade and their gospel presentation, it's a little three-minute presentation they teach that every student can share. It's the great controversy in a nutshell, and we don't teach people to share a little gospel presentation in 3 minutes. But it's a great controversy. It's the three angels' messages. We each need to be able to do this. So, from John 3:16, The place that I go to naturally, and I believe on the biblical principle of repeat and enlarge, so I'm going to keep on saying all these things over and over and over, and that helps you to remember. So we start with Genesis 3:15 about the enmity, about the admission that there is a battle, there's a dark battle between good and evil. There are two powers in this world, and people who believe in evolution, they have to admit that. They have to admit that there is good and evil in this world, that there is a battle. And when you get them to admit that, then it starts to make sense with everything else, right? So there is this battle. Jesus jumped in, gave his life in place of ours to save us, and now he offers that to us through the promise in John 3:16 that everybody has heard of. So in order to accept that, we start a relationship, right? Because that's how creation started, is Jesus wanted to start a family. He wanted to be here with us. So we need to restore the relationship. We don't just need the promises. We don't just need the facts. We need the relationship back. Amen? It's relationship restored, not just this theoretical thing, not just this, I don't even know what you call it, this thing that was done for us and is on a shelf. It was done for us so we can enter back into relationship. And so my favorite place to go at this point in my journey is Psalm 27. So turn there with me. Psalm 27, and we're going to start with verse 1. And we will lead up to my favorite verse in the Bible. Psalm 27, 1 says the Lord, and this is a psalm of David. It's important to get context as you read Scripture. This is a psalm of David, a man after God's own heart who is known to be close to the Lord. This is his passion. So keep in mind everything you know about David. He is a great man of war. He was a great man of wealth. He had many wives and rich. He had everything. Everything was at his disposal. The king of Israel, the wealth of the land, everything was at his disposal. And listen to what he says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? He went into thousands of battles, faced thousands of enemies with razor-sharp swords all aimed at him. That's scary. But he says, the Lord is my strength. He is my salvation. So why should I be afraid? Because when David went into battle, he learned as a teenager. You remember? He learned as a teenager, probably 17 years old, that he could take down a giant if he let the Lord do it through him. Amen? So it was not about David. It was about David's relationship restored, his relationship with Jesus that flowed through him in battle. And so he says, I'm not afraid. Because it's not about me. Amen? It's about him. He says, the Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble, they will fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. Amen? Do you want that? Do people that are stuck in the world, suffering in many ways, want this peace? If you have this to offer, do you think people will accept it? Yes. This is what the world is searching for. We cannot be satisfied by wealth, by drugs, by alcohol, by gratuitous fleshy stuff. We can only be satisfied by Jesus. And he says in verse 4, the king of Israel, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most. Remember who he is. He has everything. But the thing he seeks most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. Amen? That's what devotional time is. It's our time with Jesus. Spending time thinking about him, praying through Scripture, talking to him. And then he goes on talking about the sanctuary. This is also known as the sanctuary psalms. He talks about it extensively here. He says, for he will conceal me there
in the sanctuary when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Amen? He's going to have a party while the enemy is surrounding him because he knows he's got the victory. Amen? And we can have the victory too, and the people you meet on the streets can as well. Is this the good news that the world needs? They need this. Be prepared to share. Verse 7 says, "Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me." And then my favorite verse in all the Bible at this point in my journey says, and this is New Living Translation, says, "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming." David, in the midst of his battles, in the midst of his wealth and his pomp and glory, hears that voice saying, come and talk with me. Come and be with me. And that same voice is calling to us. Do you know that? He is calling you and he is calling me in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our joy, in the midst of our entertainment, he is calling us. Come and talk with me. He wants the relationship restored. Amen? Amen. I could soak in that passage for a really long time, and I frequently do. But that is just a foundational place, something that means a lot to me that I will share with somebody who wants to know about Jesus. I'll tell them, you know, there's a lot to learn, there's a lot of theology, there's a lot of doctrine, there's a lot of stuff out there, but just as the apostles, after Jesus ascended, they were given the power of the Holy Spirit, they went out and they baptized thousands in a day. They start off with a basic gospel commitment, a commitment to follow Jesus, and then we grow. There's time to learn, but the thing we need to get first is that Jesus wants to spend time with you. Amen? And I'm just so excited you guys are here this summer to go to the streets and take this good news to Lodi and the surrounding area. And I was in this work for 6 years full time. I ran the Big Book program, trained a lot of leaders, and it's foundation for my life and my ministry. But you have so much opportunity, whether they get books or not, to pray with people, to encourage people, to share your favorite verses, to lay out this simple storyline. And congregation, they aren't here to do the work for us. They are here to work with us, to inspire us, to help us. But we all do the same thing. We all have opportunity every day, amen? We all can encourage somebody. There are hurting people all around us. We just need to take off the blinders. We need to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to spend time with Jesus. And then it's not threatening. It's not intimidating. It is a joy. Amen? Amen? After Psalm 27, there's a lot of places you could go. One of the ones I thought of, but I think maybe we should hurry along, is Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. I'm not going to take the time to turn there now, but it's a story we all know. It's a story of Jesus blessing the children. Is there anything more disarming than that? We know God's power. We know his strength. We know how mighty he is. And we know he saw over warriors like David. He can do powerful, miraculous things, but he also wants to sit down and have you sit on his lap, the children sit on his lap. He wants to sit down and just be with you. And so this is a beautiful picture of Jesus accepting anybody and everybody. Because at that time, the children were not considered worthy. The disciples said, "You mothers, get out of here with your kids. Jesus doesn't have time for this." And that message has come through to our society in many ways, and we need to correct it. We need to let people know that there's nothing they have done that Jesus would not accept them for. He wants to leave their sins behind. There's nothing people have done to make Jesus reject them or tell them to stay away. There's no reason they cannot come. And there's no reason you cannot come to Jesus. We get into that sometimes. We think, well, I've done something so bad. I've been so horrible, or I've ignored him, or I've this, or I've that. Jesus accepts you where you are, and he wants to help you to grow and become better and become more like him through conversations, through reading scripture, through all of those things. And that process, we have a big fancy term for it. It's called sanctification. But I don't like big fancy terms. I just like to say that he wants to spend time with you. And the more you hang out with him, his peer pressure is going to change you. Because you become like the people you hang around, right? So you want to know the best way to get a bunch of tattoos and big holes in your ears and do weird things? Go hang out with those people. They'll show you. But if you want to be a witness for Jesus, be full of joy and life and love, who do you hang out with? Jesus and his best friends. And then you invite everybody else to hang out with you too. And you enjoy basking in the positive peer pressure of Jesus and his church. Amen? So, Jesus said while he was here on earth, all this teaching and preaching and all of these things. I think that's the good news, isn't it? Does that pretty much sum up the good news? It's a messed up, sinful, ugly world. Jesus came in, gave us a chance. We accept that chance. We accept the new life by spending time with him. Understand that he wants to be with us. And so after we understand that simple storyline, that simple gospel, we understand, and one other thing we can share with people would be John 14, right? John 14, 1-3, how many of you memorized that as a child? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, if I go, this is Jesus speaking, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen? So that he can take us out of this world to where he is. Amen? So we are not stuck here. That's kind of the capstone, I guess, of the gospel presentation. It's ugly, it's sinful. We can engage in a relationship with him, and then we get out of here at some point. And we don't have to deal with it anymore. All the sin and the disease and the cancer and the horrible things. We had an anointing just a week or so ago. This sinful world that the devil has messed up has a lot of pain in it. But that pain is not eternal. Sin is not eternal. That's why Adam and Eve had to get out of the Garden of Eden right away after they sinned so that they would not eat of the tree of life and make sin immortal. Sin is not immortal. Amen? We will not always have to deal with it. Life will not always be this way. So, what do we do with this information? Obviously, Jesus' parting words, Matthew 28, says, go ye therefore into all the world. Not just preaching. It says, make disciples. Live with people, walk with people. And that's what I love about my call porter programs when I used to be in them. You live together all summer. That's discipleship. You share meals, you share your pains, you share your joy. You get out there, you work side by side, and you grow. And it is a foundation for your life. And so I pray that you will be praying for these kids. All, can I call you kids? I'm kind of old, so I call everybody kids. So, will you guys, I want you to stand up one more time. Hate to, you know, keep just calling you out like this. These are our call porters on the streets. Now, where are our fishermen? I want our fishermen to stand up. Some of them, I know, are here today. Fishermen. So, look around you. You see some of our fishermen here. These are the ones you'll be passing the Bible studies to. So they, Robert here heads up the fishermen's ministries, and there are others. And so when you are out on the streets and you're praying with people and someone says, yes, I want more, I want to study more, you'll be passing them off. You can go ahead and take a seat. And so we are going to work together to, like the old hymn says, rescue the perishing. But Jesus does the rescuing. We're just the tool. Amen? So, we are to go into all the world. As you go and help find the people, we will help to disciple them, amen? Because people, we don't want to just give them information and send them on their way. We want to invite them to a family, amen? So we want to invite them to come here to be with us, to fellowship with us. And it is high time that we do this far more than we are. Amen? Just to give it a little urgency, I want to go back to Matthew 24. Just to remind you of the context that we are not out of sin and wickedness and horrible things yet. And you can read through Matthew 24. I kind of like to focus on verses 4 through 14. But as you read through, and we're not going to read that whole thing today, but as you read through, it says there are wars and threats of wars. But he says, don't panic. It's not yet. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes all over the world. But this is just the beginning. And it goes on and on about all of these signs of the end. But do you know there's only one thing that Matthew 24 says we can do? There's only one thing in the midst of this description of chaos. The disciples want to know, when's the end? When's Jesus coming back? There's only one doable in this chapter. Do you know what it is? Verse 14. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Don't spend all your time fretting. Don't get so engrossed in the news and conspiracy theories. Be aware. Be aware of what's going on in our world, amen? But you don't do something about it by dwelling on it and by becoming negative and by condemning everybody that might be tripping on something. The only thing you can do about it is share the gospel, amen? Give people hope. Show them a way out. Don't be about condemnation. Be about salvation, amen? We need to offer something. There are entire ministries out there that are founded and based on, and their mission is to find problems. And we need to be aware. We need to be careful. But the Bible says we are to be about the gospel. Amen? We are to be about Jesus. We are to be beacons of hope, beacons of light, a light set on a hill. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. All throughout Jesus' ministry, he was positive. He was accepting of hurting, sinful, messy people. The only ones he condemned were those who thought they were so perfect that I'm not even going to go there. Jesus wants to speak through us, to share the basic, simple hope that we can get out of this mess, we can have peace in a relationship with Jesus, and that we can go home one day to escape it all. So, John 1:5, just to slip one more passage in here. John chapter 1, you know what John chapter 1 is about, right? This is about Jesus coming down to earth, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and here is the hope for the workers. For those of you who are out there trying to be a witness, and that should be all of us, when it's talking about the light coming to the world, in John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Amen? The light will never go out. Jesus has won the great controversy. He has won the battle. He is victorious, and that victory is to come through us and flow out to the world around us. Amen? So, as you're out on the streets, there will be dark days. There will be struggles. But remember, the darkness can never extinguish the light. The light that is Jesus and the light that is Jesus in you. The devil cannot blow it out. Amen? That light is in every one of us. If you have accepted Jesus, the promise of Acts 2:38 says that when you accept Jesus, when you're baptized, the Holy Spirit comes in to flood your body, your mind, and you become a light for Him. Let your light shine, amen? That's what we are invited to do. Let your light shine, and remember, no matter how hard it gets, the devil cannot extinguish it. So, last scripture, 1 Peter 3:15. Who knows what that says? Don't know what it says, you better turn there. 1 Peter 3:15 says, and if someone asks you about your Christian, should the fact that you are a Christian be obvious? Should people be able to tell there's something different about you? Should there be a joy, a happiness If you're not feeling that joy and happiness, I challenge you to spend a little more time with Jesus every day. I know I need it. Still have down days, but then I get tired of being down. I was like, okay, I'm just going to go sit down and spend some more time with Jesus. Because we're frail, sinful humans. We forget. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not. But we need to remember, when you start to feel sorry for yourself, when you start to feel beat up by life, say, you know what? I think I need a little more of Jesus in me. I need a little more peace, a little more hope, a little more love. If you find yourself being grumpy, guess what you need? You need more Jesus. He can take it away, amen? So, that should be a glow, an evidence in us. And so, 1 Peter 3:15 says, and if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But, do this in a gentle and respectful way. Amen? We are not out to condemn people. We are not out, this could get muddy. Calling sin by its right name, you hear that phrase? It's there, but it's not our job, really. I think that's Jesus' job. We are here not to condemn people, but to give them hope, amen? It's the devil, the scripture says it's the devil, the one who whispers condemnation and tells you aren't good enough. That is not our job. Our job is to offer hope to a sinful world, amen? And so is this a simple message or have I made it complicated?
No, it's great.
I keep repeating it, going over and over, but it is so simple. We messed up. Jesus stepped in. He's fixing it. He took our place. He's fixing it, and he wants to take us out of here. Is that simple?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Tools. As I work with teenagers, since I'm a youth pastor, I really just have been given a burden for the last year or more, that we need to just make this very simple and easy for teenagers, and we need to teach all of our young people to do this. And that way, when they get to be my age, your age, it'll be just ingrained and natural, it'll be a foundation for their lives. We know the big picture, we know our distinctive beliefs, we know a lot about the Bible, but we need to have a rock-solid core foundation on the gospel and what it is. Amen? So, let's go ahead and put the website up there now. For those of you who are new, I do a lot of public high school ministry and been running Christian Club at Tokay High. And a organization called the California School Project has been partnering with us for a few years. And their motto, their theme is "Till Every Student Has Heard." And they are out in every public high school trying to get everyone, just making sure every student has heard the good news. Amen? And so a year or so, 2 years ago, they introduced us to sidewalk evangelism. It's like, hey, that reminds me of my call porter days. And so what it is, it's on the sidewalks when school gets out. It's public property, the sidewalk. Anybody can be there, and you get into gospel discussions with kids. And so the materials they have are these ancient campus crusade tracts that are really ugly, and when the kids complain, they just say, well, pray that Jesus can use it because he can. And he can, but the Lord has impressed me about maybe trying to develop something that will help. So let's scroll to the top of the website. So here's the basic concept. The concept that I've gotten from just my experiences, you all have seen the glow tracks, giving light to our world, little tracks that you can share with people. Those are very, very adult friendly. Public high school kids, any high school kids really aren't grabbed by those. Those are really made for adults. And I called the glow track people. I said, can you produce some for public high school kids? And they said, well, we'll just ask you to choose from what we have. So I thought, okay, well, let's see if we can make something. And this way, and the concept is, that about once a month, the Lodi Academy students, or those who choose to be involved, can go to the public high school one Friday a month, because on Friday the academy gets out early, the public school still gets out at the same time, about 2:15. So one Friday a month, academy kids, in partnership with our public school kids from our church, can be on the streets, on the sidewalk, wearing an Angel One shirt and a few little pamphlets in their bag to witness. Does that sound good? Does that sound important? Everybody in America has to go to school until they get out of high school, right? So if we can be in front of a high school once a month from here till forever, we can have a chance to talk to everybody that grows up in Lodi at some point, right? And so whereas we cannot chase down each student and like people studying animals, tag them and all that, we can be there for the Holy Spirit to bring them. We can be available, right? Because it's not all about us, and it's not all in our power, but this is about the Holy Spirit working with him for those divine appointments. Amen? So the concept is we go out with some literature, some tools that helps you to feel more confident, and then when you get into a conversation, you give that paper to a student. There you can come back to the website to learn more. And so this website is still under development. It's not finished. Don't tell your friends about it yet. I'm hoping to have it done in a couple weeks. But does this look youth-friendly so far? It's the Angel One Project. Where do you think that came from? First angel of Revelation 14. We focus so much on the third angel. I believe it's time to back up to the first angel. Everlasting gospel. The gospel is never out of date. Amen? The gospel is everlasting. It's good news forever. And so this is the message of Angel One. It's simply about the gospel. Let's scroll down. So you can use the links across the top, or the whole thing just scrolls. So, about the gospel. And this is just a simple message that you are not alone in this world. It's what we started out talking about, right? It's based on Genesis 3:15 and Isaiah 53. You're not alone. This world is a dark and messy place, but there is hope. And so there's this simple gospel message. And then right there, read more. Go ahead and click that for me, guys. And I wrote a little booklet. It's called the Angel One Book, Light for a Dark World. And it goes through a simple gospel presentation. Now, we're still working on the layout and design. I had this, have this young adult designer that's working with me. But the pictures just aren't at all what I want them to be. So we're going to work on that still. So if you read this, please understand that yeah, I don't think they make sense for the right page, right place either at this point. But we're going to work on that. Dick Hansen, my right-hand man in design, he's going to help me fix it. So let's go to the table of contents. Down just a little bit. Scroll down just a little. Okay, so here's the basic layout, and it's basically what we just talked about. The introduction is that Jesus loves you, wants to be with you, wants to be your best friend. Then we talk about the evil that surrounds us, the Genesis 3:15 and all those things, how dark and ugly this world is, and that there are struggles, but that it's not your fault that you're caught in the world. You didn't ask to be born in a sinful mess. How many of you, if you were given the choice, would have been born on a perfect planet? I don't see very many hands. That's worrisome. How many of you would choose to be born on a perfect planet? No troubles, no worries. All right. Your own garden to tend and keep, and little cute sheep with lambs and lions all together, all that. So, the evil that surrounds us, then the Jesus intervention, that's when we talk about that other part of Genesis 3:15, that Jesus came in to make it better, to fix it, to take over, and so the incredible good that's waiting for us is a relationship with him, and that we can spend time with him, and he can change us, and all these are just a little 4-inch square booklet, maybe 3 or 4 pages for each section, and then how to claim the good. So the theme for me in this little project is the theme of the demoniac. When Jesus pulled up to shore, cast the demons out of the man who was in chains, well, one of the Gospels says there was 2 of them, he said, I want to come with you, Lord. I want to follow you. I want to hop in the boat and go away. And he said, nope. Go back home and tell everybody what's happened. Amen? He didn't have extensive training. He didn't get a bunch of literature. He didn't get anything. He just said, go share your story. And so as you put together your scriptures and your ideas, this flow of thoughts for sharing the gospel, it is critically important that you insert your story into the Bible story. And you share what those scriptures mean to you personally. And how Jesus has reached out and has saved you. Amen? The simplest thing to share is what Jesus has done for you. So there's a little tiny booklet, so we'll have a bunch of those printed up to give to people you get into conversations with. Go back to there. Okay, now let's scroll down. So is that simple so far? Here's the gospel. It's good news. Jesus wants to spend time with you. And now here's a little encouragement. Every year there's more than enough time to share some good news. Did you know that you have 525,600 minutes every year? That's a lot of time. Do you think you could use a few of those minutes to share something about Jesus? Amen? All right, scroll down a little bit more. Simple overview.
Be inspired. Read through the Angel One booklet, the tracts, be relevant, live it in your world, and then be a witness. Share it with other people. Scroll down, and there is the key foundational text, that angel flying in midair to give the eternal gospel to the earth. That is our inspiration. Scroll down a little bit more. Now, to get into a gospel conversation, the way we do it at Tokay Heights, usually during our week of spiritual emphasis, where we are having speakers and praise band on campus all week. As a club, you can do that. And so we say, hey, have you heard about the spiritual emphasis week? Would you like to know more? Can we tell you about Jesus? But just any time on a random basis, what does Ellen White say? It's a famous quote. I don't have it memorized. I'm sure somebody here does. About winning their hearts, making friends, and as you show your care and concern for them, you will have opportunity to share the gospel. Amen? That's a very strong paraphrase because it's nothing like the original. But you get the point, right? So, what I have, and this is all open for critique, by the way, because you're the ones who are going to be using it. It's geared at high school, but I think it is very young adult friendly, Sergio. I want our young adults to team up on this, and I think anybody might be able to use this. So, I need a lot of feedback. So far in the gospel, there is the Angel One book, and then the number three is a little card I have on the back table, Jesus and the Big Three. It's just an overview of your devotional life and how to spend time with Him. And then I'm going to put a little something on how to do sidewalk evangelism that can be done anytime, anywhere. It doesn't even have to be by a public high school, but that's where I want to start. So then I'm going to have a couple series of little tracks to go with the booklet. And so it's going to start out with a survey. If you go to the Girl to Girl, this would be for girls to share with other girls. Now scroll over some of the pictures there. So, dealing with drama. Do girls ever get into drama, ladies? Why are you laughing? Drama. All right. So, there it is. How to deal with drama. Next one. Does this thought make me look fat? Body image. Hollywood. All this horrible stuff that our secular, materialistic world puts on us. So, all of these tracks were written by Celeste Perino Walker. She's a popular Adventist teen writer. Let's Make Up. It's talking about forgiveness. What happens when a friend has betrayed you? And they all lead to Jesus as the foundation of your life. And then they take, stop kissing frogs. Get out of those relationships. Why spend time with all kinds of boys when you can just wait for the right one that God has for you? Okay? Amen? So these are tools here so that a girl can walk up with a survey and say, hello, I'm with the Angel One Project. Can I ask you a few questions? Do you ever struggle with depression? Yes, no. Do you ever get into drama that you just wish you didn't have to deal with? And then you can share a little tract, maybe get to the gospel booklet, and then they come back here where they can read more about the gospel, and then they can fill out a contact page to talk to one of us. Amen? Amen. So this is a tool. The God series we're still working on, but you can click up there. And these ones, there are five basic reasons, I'm told. Omar Miranda wrote these for me. He says, there are five basic reasons why people walk away from Christianity. And high school, these are really top things. Like, how does God allow all this suffering? Why doesn't He do something about it? Have you heard that before? There's a little tract on that, okay? And so if you scroll across those, stress, the gridiron of life, that's kind of the battle. Pain, go away, the problem of pain. Relationships, once again, those are always a stress in our society. And the hole in your soul, that emptiness that only Jesus can fill. And so the concept is to always be armed with, just like thousands of people take glow tracks all over, these ones are geared specifically towards younger people, towards high school students, young adult. And so always have those to share with kids that you meet in your life. Now let's scroll, hit the featured button up there at the top. So these are some samples from the Gospel, the Girl to Girl series, the God series, and then the videos are some of the video testimonies from the Living It website, and one of those is a call porter that was here a couple years ago. Kiyoki shared a testimony, and so I also film video testimonies if anybody has something to share while you're here. So there's all these resources, so when someone on the streets gets into a conversation with one of us, you give them a little tract to read, they have some place they can come back to learn more. Amen? How many of you would use something like this? This is to be a tool for you to help you share the good news gospel of Jesus and what it says in the Bible about that, what it says in your life about that, and what it can do for the person you're talking to. Amen? Does this make sense? Okay, scroll down just a little bit more. And that's really all there is to the site. A gospel rally and sidewalk evangelism, how you can get some training. I want to plan a rally here in Lodi for sometime this winter where we're going to do nothing but preach the gospel and teach people how to share it. Amen? So that'll be for our kids, our young adults, and whoever else wants to come right here. I'm even considering a Wednesday night high school student seminary. Whatever that is. But it would involve meeting in the youth room every Wednesday night. And not just playing games, but learning the gospel, learning how to share the gospel, taking deep journeys on your devotional life. And I know there's all kinds of other things going on, but I think I want to, I feel convicted that we really need to have specific training. Larry Carter, who brought me into the call porter work so many years ago, he was just here a few days ago, called me up wondering where I was. And Larry's motto and why student literature evangelist programs have taken off is because his motto is train, train, train. If you just throw people out there without tools, you're going to fail. So you need to have a personal experience with Jesus. You need to understand Scripture, and you need some tools. So this is the training. So the concept, once again, following the demoniac, there's a kid on the sidewalk. He's walked away from church. He's not maybe attending. She's thinking about it, maybe wants to. Someone walks up, led by the Holy Spirit, says, hey, Jesus is for you. I'm here for you. Would you like to learn more? Go here. And then pretty soon that person becomes a part of these things. We can get together. And so this is a local project where you can lead people into your local fellowship because we are to disciple people, not just throw information at them and run. Amen? They're always with the information, with the tract, with the book. Has to be a way to contact someone to get involved. Amen? Amen? And so we want those contacts. As you guys are out there, we're praying that you will find those people and that we'll be able to follow up with the things that you start. And so we're excited about this. Scroll down just a little bit more. And there's a few links to dig deeper to for those who want to move beyond the gospel into some deeper Bible study. And there's a couple of links there. And then you scroll down further. And there's just a picture, so it looks nice. There's some devotions here. Scroll over that crazy dog on the left. Vomit on the menu. John McCann wrote that. It's disgusting. You know, there's a scripture about dogs returning to their stuff. It's a biblical teaching. It's a good one. So, and we'll try to post some more devotions so people can continue to read. Let's scroll down. And keep in touch. I need to find a Facebook page for this and Twitter and all those techie things. Then people contact us right here. Scroll down. And there's some of our team, the writers, the people. And if you continue to scroll down, yeah, people can even donate. And that's it. It's a simple, very one-dimensional site. It's all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus and how to be a witness for him. So it takes the person you meet on the street that you just met, introduces them back to Jesus, helps them to discover that, and then it sends them out as a witness themselves. Amen? So I need help to finish developing this, more ideas, what doesn't make sense, what do you have to contribute, and I need people to start trying it because we want to be a light in Lodi, don't we? Amen? Amen? We want to light up our world. We want to be used by Jesus. We want to share with everybody. We want to increase our fellowship. Because anybody we meet and befriend for Jesus here, guess what? We keep them for eternity. You want some eternal friends? Amen? All right. Can you believe we talked for almost an hour? It's ridiculous. All right. But it gets exciting, doesn't it? And that's why talking is so much better than preaching. It's just, yeah. Anyway. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, and let's talk more about this later, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us, to guide us, to empower us. And Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your vision, with your wisdom, and that you would empower us to reach the world around us, especially Lodi, California, that you would give us boldness, that you would make us aware of our story and our walk with you in a way that we can share it powerfully. And Lord, I pray that the tools will continue to develop that will give us confidence and some help. In Jesus' name, amen.